Good morning and welcome to the 7 o'clock hour of Byers & Company. We will be joined by Superintendent Paul Frigo, Board of Education members Courtney Carson and Dan Oaks, plus Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports, and the Redbird Report with Mike Claiborne. It's all next.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Going to have Jeff Daly come in here and check headphones before we get started. It's always something.
He was just in there.
Huh?
Was it just bad headphones, maybe?
Jeff, capture that look. I don't know what he's doing. We'll just we'll pretend like we don't need him. All right, good morning and welcome. It is 7 o'clock here on a Tuesday morning, 7:08 to be exact. And, of course, we will keep remembering 9/11 17 years later. I put those newspaper headlines up, the front page of several newspapers from across the United States of America. It blew me away. The Washington Post was 25 cents. How old does that make you feel? 17 years ago. But it is amazing to me how the Chicago Tribune and Seattle and Washington and newspapers covered that story. And the fact that it still meant something a day later to, you know, have a headline in a newspaper. I mean, the way the world has changed and the way we communicate, it's unbelievable. We'll get back to that in a little bit and talk about some of those documentaries that are surrounding 9/11 that are worth watching, including that one by those two young French filmmakers and one American that were there with a Proby fireman, just happened to be there that day in Manhattan at one of the fire departments and was called into that with their cameras. They had no idea what they were getting into. It's an amazing story. It's called 9/11, and they released it at the six-month anniversary on CBS. I mean, this is like Robert De Niro, I think, like introduced it on TV, and it was full of natural profanity, meaning these were guys running into burning buildings, and the FCC let them air that on national network without any sort of fines or protest. And it got a 23 share. 39 million people watched that on a six-month anniversary, which is just absolutely stunning in today's numbers when you think about it. All right, we're going to have a very important school board meeting tonight. And I want to start with Dr. Paul Frigo is in the studios with this District 61 superintendent, along with members of the Board of Education, Courtney Carson and Dan Oaks. And we'll get to the Rev and to Dan here in just a second. But I want to talk about the process, Paul. You know, when did this start, you know, to this point now where you're making recommendations to the board tonight?
Well, it started upon my arrival. We started talking about what we need to do to change to the format of the district. We have too many kids on waiting lists in certain programs, and we have too many buildings in the district as well.
Okay, now that have to look at. This is something that is impacting everywhere. I you know, Rahm Emanuel recently announced he's not running for re-election as mayor of Chicago. One of the tough things he had to do up there in Chicago was close a bunch of schools because they just didn't have the population. Now, it made it tougher in Chicago because you've got kids having to cross over into areas and other areas. We don't have those problems necessarily here. But, you know, these districts were built for a different time and different numbers of kids.
That's right. That's right. You know, we have 22 school buildings in our inventory. We're the 26th largest district in enrollment, but we're the 12th largest district in buildings. And that's a disconnect there that you have to look at. So,
all right, with fresh eyes, you come difficult. In. How do you explain, and Dan, you've been around a long time. I mean, is it just people are, well, I meant as a school board member. No, come on now, you're not a spring chicken. You've been around here for a while. You know, how is it that we get to this point? I mean, is it just people obviously don't want to close schools? That's not something that anyone's thrilled about. But you've watched this district for a long time. How do we get to such a large number of buildings where we don't have enough kids for all those buildings?
Well, I think the decline in population going from what were perceived to be neighborhood schools to schools where we now have to bus in 80-90% of the population because of where the school is.
And but also, when you say loss of population, that also means to county schools, that means to private schools. I mean, if you go back 25 years ago and you look at the population of Moroa Forsyth School District or Mount Zion School District, they're not going to be nearly as high as they are today.
Exactly. And we looked at, Dr. Frigo pulled some stats from the Large Unit District Association. School districts locally around us that have more students have six, seven, eight fewer buildings than we have. So they've combine their resources for efficiency and to make it easier for the students to know where they're going to go to school. There are not 22 options. We're going to cut it down to a reasonable number that the parents can handle.
Okay. So this process involved meeting with community members, meeting with teachers. I mean, who all was involved in the conversation?
Well, what we utilized was information that the FACES committee had put together. We looked at information that survey information from past looks at this, and we just looked at the actual data on where we're at on enrollments and building inventory. And the other big key to this, though, Brian, is we also have these waiting lists for schools like Johns Hill and Montessori.
The question I've had from years back is, if you've got programs that are in such high demand that people are on a waiting list again, and why are you not duplicating those programs in more buildings?
Or expanding the capacity
yes.
of the building.
That makes sense.
Right. So those are the main issue we're trying to address is our waiting lists that are at our Johns Hill program. And our Montessori, that's our first goal, is to increase the capacity of our popular program. So people that are on waiting lists and opting out of our district because they can't get in those buildings have that, and then address other building inventory needs down the road.
Okay, so what do you plan on presenting to the board tonight? What are your recommendations?
We're going to recommend, the actual recommendation is that we pull Johns Hill and Durfee offline, and that will allow us to access health life safety monies of about $33 million. And we are going to rebuild a new Johns Hill in the same area Johns Hill is now. That's very important to our board, that we put it in the same area it is now. Durfee will come offline, and we'll replace that square footage at Muffley Parsons and Franklin.
Okay, hang on. Go back once again. So you're talking about knocking down Johns Hill as one of the oldest, if not the oldest, schools in the district. And, mm-hmm. and we were there for 8 years. And the school itself, the principal, the teachers,
great.
The culture's
yeah.
fantastic.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. the English is a second language school.
Right.
But the facility is, you know, when you talk about these school days where it's 97 degrees out, go in that building. I mean, it's 8,000 degrees in there, and it's a great experience. But it is, you know, if bricks and mortar matter, that's certainly not cutting the test there. So building a brand new Johns Hill where mm-hmm. Johns Hill exists now.
Yes, in that vicinity. We'd like to talk to the Park District about some partnerships and using some of their property, but that's all still in the very preliminary stages. We're also, going to expand our capacity there by about 230 kids. So hopefully we can eliminate the waiting list.
Okay.
Johns Hill.
And then what happens to Durfee? Durfee just goes away.
Durfee goes away, and we have to replace that square footage as we move forward.
Okay, and then what we'll talk about the Thomas Jefferson thing here in a little bit, but mm-hmm. it seems like everyone was on the same page, and just from a board level question mm-hmm. for Reverend Carson and Mr. Oaks, that the board seemed to be all pulling in one direction on this until just recently, where there's been some conversations about changing the programming at Johns Hill or making it a neighborhood school. I mean, what happened with that?
To be totally honest, it was a split second thought, because we have to. If anybody has a thought, we have to entertain all the thoughts. But if the thought isn't what we would like to see in our district and what taxpayers would like to see in our district, we won't entertain it at all. So I'm not sure where this ideal of neighborhood school has come from in a real sense, because we're all on the same page about rebuilding Johns Hill School. I mean, that's a phenomenal program, right? So why not couple that program with a phenomenal building in itself? And the community says the same thing. We've the Southside Improvement Association, which I preside over, we went door to door and asked individuals, what do you think about us rebuilding this school? They were like, oh my gosh, it's great. That's a great idea. Now, what do you think about us opening up the lottery to young people in the neighborhood so that they could walk to school? And they were like, oh, that's even better, right? So then Johns Hill will become ultimately a school that services all walks of life in a real sense, right? Because the program is great. It's one of the number one programs that our district has to offer. So I think that the ideal of rebuilding and open up the lottery to neighborhood children is a phenomenal ideal. And in that area too, because simply it's good for the neighborhood as well, right? And if we can rebuild that neighborhood with that school, that's just a phenomenal thought, and everything that's above that will grow as well.
Yeah, I think that for a long time, people have tried to sort of manipulate populations of kids so that it looks this way or it looks that way. Mm-hmm. We've kind of lost sight of like actually educating kids and
right.
getting them ready for life ought
right,
to be the
exactly.
end goal. And destination programs are important, Dan. If people are going to pick District 61, it's not necessarily going to be because of neighborhood schools. It's going to be because Dennis is a neighborhood school, but that's not what makes it popular. It's popular because of the programming and what they have done there.
Exactly. And it's the same thing with Johns Hill. That's a program that you could put in any building, and it would replicate itself fine. It's not the bricks and mortars that's the program, and it's not the bricks and mortars that teach the program. It's the people in the building. And in going back to a point Reverend Carson made, one of the issues we had to deal with, and I told Dr. Frigo he needed to have a bigger Johns Hill because the waiting list that we originally had would have filled the building on day one, mm-hmm. which accounts for the expansion. But we have to be careful with board policy. Board policy says you're a magnet school or you're not a magnet school, which is why we had to increase the availability of slots in Johns Hill for the neighborhood kids that want to go.
Okay. And then what happens to Franklin, Muffley, Parsons, South Shores, and we're talking about all the other grade schools?
Franklin, Muffley, and Parsons will get additions to replace the square footage that Durfee was being taken offline. And then we will look at combining elementary schools several years out to fill that square footage, as well as we have the Durfee kids. If you look at the map of the Durfee kids, they are truly scattered all out through the district. So we need to have a plan for those kids. And Durfee, just so people know, is not coming offline next year. It's 2 years out. So we have time to work with those families, staff, and students to best accommodate their needs in the neighborhood school they would like to attend and or a magnet school they would like to attend.
Okay, this coming offline thing, is this school terminology for
it's
we're
closing.
Tearing down a building?
Right, exactly.
It's out of our inventory,
closing. You're closing a school. Yeah, I don't think you need to shy away from this stuff.
Decommission.
Okay, decommissioning.
A lot of $20 words. But because we have over 9,000 children in declining families, right, we want to be a destination school. And so that with the fewer buildings, we can be more available in terms of resources. Right?
Well, I would think so. I would think you would say, you talk about, janitors and support
social
staff.
Workers,
yeah,
social
nurses
workers.
And counselors and most important teachers.
Best support service, better support services. Mm-hmm. We can consolidate those as well.
All right. Now, is there talk about consolidation of the Montessori programs into one building at Thomas Jefferson?
Yes. Yes. Garfield and Enterprise are going to go to TJ. That's, again, a couple years out. TJ will increase our capacity to serve Montessori kids by over 200 as well. And we have begun to map that with BLDD as far as how that would look. And it's not just going to look like the old Thomas Jefferson. It's going to look like a 21st century Montessori school. We'll have open learning spaces, places where kids can get stuff hands-on and that type of thing. Yes, so in a couple years, TJ will be our new Montessori school.
Okay, and so that means then at that point, then you would close those two other grade schools?
Or repurpose them, depending on where we're at.
Okay, because I think about, we were just out at Enterprise this mm-hmm. past, at the end of last week, where ADM made their donation there for the 4-H program. And, you've got all of that the area out there that you're using as sort of a living farm, which is going to be a great hands-on experience for the kids, not only in the Ag Academy, but in, trades or anything else. So it would be interesting to see, what that whole land space turns into.
Right. And we're going to do something with Enterprise because the board recognizes that as well with mm-hmm. that acreage out there, that's a great learning space. So we will repurpose Enterprise moving forward.
Okay, so what happens tonight then?
Actually, it's kind of anticlimactic tonight. At the end, the board will I'll recommend a motion that we submit the health life safety amendments for Johns Hill and Durfee for the building replacement process and to replace Johns Hill and put additions on Franklin, Muffley, and Parsons.
Okay.
That's it. That's the whole motion. The board will, mm-hmm. board will vote and that allows us to on Wednesday to submit those amendments for ISBA to review and then decide whether or not they're going to issue the approximately $33 million in health life safety bonds allow us to do that, to start generating the funds to get this work done.
All right. So, Dan, what's the downside? Or I mean, people don't like change in general. I mean, anytime you talk about, you know, closing a school. I was convinced growing up that it's one of the best things that ever happened to me. The District 61 closed schools everywhere. I mean, it was like I went to the 7th grade at one school, they closed it. I went to the 8th grade at another school. I went to the 9th and 10th grade at one school, they closed it. I had to go to the 11th and 12th grade at another school. They got to meet new friends. You know, you got to have a little bit of personality. You got to, like, not be shy. It's always been a part of life. I mean, just it's an evolution, and people aren't always comfortable with that.
No, but there are going to be some other benefits to this. That we have what we call the pod system. For if you want to go to school A and school A's full, we'll send you to school B. Hopefully, with the increases in building capacity, we can get rid of that. We can establish boundaries that are realistic and not a little over here, a little over there, a little someplace else. But they'll surround the school area, and you'll know that you're within boundaries for this school. It's going to make it easier, I think, for the bus routes, because we're not running kids all over Decatur. It's potential money saving.
Okay. I think, to me, though, the most important thing is that these waiting lists be eliminated, and everybody
absolutely.
That wants to be in Johns Hill or wants to be in these other schools are able mm-hmm. to get in those schools.
Right, and, definitely.
And
definitely.
Also, Brian, I think the other benefit is to what Dan talked about, this pod system is not a family-friendly system because you may think you're going to Stevenson. If Stevenson's full, now your kid's heading over to Parsons because there's room at Parsons. So we're hoping to be able to have them. When you live in a neighborhood, you truly have a school that you can attend, and we're not going to transfer you because our schools are too small.
Okay. But in some ways, that's a mixed message, right? I mean, you're saying you have too many buildings, and then you're saying the schools are too small. I mean, you got to, like, do a little bit better job refining this for the public that's not
yes.
in the minutiae of this that you are. Right. I mean, that seems counterintuitive to the argument that you're making, is that we have too much space.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
Yes. Thanks for catching
well,
me.
Well, go ahead and clarify that
well,
for me then.
We have very small buildings.
Yeah.
With, you know, we have one section of first graders. And so if your child, if you happen to move in the neighborhood and there's only one classroom for first graders, and it's already full, then we have to send you somewhere else because we don't have a lot of buildings with numerous sections to allow us the flexibility to serve the
How are the buildings as far as just, we talk about bricks and mortar, how are they, like, you know, I mean, I remember literally being on the Public Schools Foundation, and we were buying, like, the first wave of Promethean boards, like, you know, smart
right.
technology in the classrooms. And at Eisenhower High School, mm-hmm. they'd literally, depending on the hallway, like, one class could use it, and the other one had to, like, unplug. I mean, the electrical work was that old. You know, what is the infrastructure like in a lot of these older buildings, you know, based on today's technology? You got state-of-the-art in the high schools. What are the grade mm-hmm. schools and the middle schools look like?
It's a mixed bag. We are, you know, we're right now we're in the, in fact, Brian, we're in the middle of a technology audit as well. We have an outside entity looking at our backbone, our support network. We have buildings that are very fiber oriented, and we're others that are coax oriented. And so it's a mixed bag on what we can do as far as a technology throughout the district.
All right. So when you look at a new Johns Hill, what do you see?
I see a gleaming 21st century learning building with stuff people haven't even thought about at this point, because what they're doing now in school design, there's very few walls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of open space, mm-hmm. a lot of collaborative space. I mean, you go into businesses now and there's not a lot of walls and offices. It's a lot of open space. So we're going to replicate that in the learning spaces within Johns Hill, plus a building built to serve the fine arts.
All right, and then
with the nice auditorium,
sure,
music rooms, band rooms, that type of thing.
And your timeline on this, I know you said it's not going to be next year. I mean, you know, when would this, if I know this has to be approved through the state and all these other things, but I mean, what would be the general timeline?
3 years, it'd be finished, and the kiddos coming from up the hill from the old Johns Hill to the new Johns Hill.
Okay. All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I know everyone's trying to do the right thing. It's hard. People just don't like change. So, Dan, are you hearing any negative feedback from folks?
We've had some people that have been infected with the rumor mill. And once you explain to them what really is going on.
All right. Well, so give me an example of what the rumor mill is, so that if people are actually hearing it, they know it's not true.
We've been told that we were closing Johns Hill. We've been told that we've been turning it into a community school. We've been told, use your vivid imagination. And people just need to stop and listen for a minute. There's a reason we have to do this. If you look at the buildings we've talked about, most of them were built back in the 1975 era where you had huge populations that would fill a neighborhood school. Now we have schools we bus kids to. So it's easier to bus to one larger location, still retaining the same teachers that were in the schools, so your kids aren't going to see any staggering new faces. But to go for efficiency, to go for modernization, some of these buildings, we couldn't run fiber optic cable if our lives depended on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they're too old.
They're not designed for that.
Yeah, well, I think people can understand that. Certainly. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, Brian. Another big point I think people need to know that we haven't been able to touch on is this plan. And if we could get the funding to implement it, all our buildings in 4 years will be air-conditioned that the kids are in. So we won't have to release people when it's hot.
Well, I think that would help a lot of folks. I realize that's a no-win situation when making those decisions. I get it. But that would certainly be. And I think the certain amount of the grumpy old crowd that just likes to talk about back in the day, come on.
right.
Like I said, go to Johns Hill in August and take a walk around. I mean, it's unbearable.
South Shores or Garfield.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that it's that hot in Johns Hill and they're still learning and the teachers are still teaching and everything is coming out on the positive end of things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's two. The problem you guys have in selling anything to the community is that you've got an older population that hasn't been in a District 61 building in years because they don't have any reason to be in there. They think and their perception of what they see as District 61 is one thing. And the reality, if you're in it every day as a parent, as we are and have been for the last, 8-9 years, there's a whole different reality. And I think the more you can get people into your buildings and into your classrooms and seeing their stuff, spending time. I remember when they opened Eisenhower and we put up a video and some photos and, it was, those kids will tear that up in a year. Well, we were just there for an entire day filming recently with the kids who all say sir and ma'am and open doors for you, and the school looks exactly like it looked the day it opened. So I think these kids know and appreciate when a community says, hey, we care about you and we're going to give you the best of the best.
Right.
And I think District 61 has to have that. And I also think it's got to be cultural, because the bricks and mortar only take you so far.
Right.
And I'll tell it's like Johns Hill and Dennis are exceeding, like, despite the structures,
right.
So that's a mental state. That's a faculty thing there.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Definitely.
No doubt. Definitely.
So not only replicate, if you got the programs and the list,
the
replicate
culture.
The staff and the culture, because that's what's going to make a difference at the end of the day.
No doubt.
No matter where you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We'll look forward to tonight, guys, and good luck. I know you said it's going to anticlimactic. Somebody will have a problem, I promise you. We'll take a quick break. Back with more. Mark Tupper straight ahead. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is Byers & Company.
There are lots of things to love about the 2018 Toyota RAV4. Just ask the people who bought one. But be prepared to get an earful. They might mention its flexible cargo space, sport-tuned suspension, and available all-wheel drive. They'll probably rave about its sophisticated touches, like its available Softex trim seats. But the one thing they absolutely won't stop talking about comes standard. The RAV4 suite of advanced safety features, which monitors changing road conditions and helps you respond to them in real time. It helps keep you and your family safe without sacrificing performance. And it doesn't cost anything extra. You love it already, don't you? Tested, trusted Toyota. Get $2,000 customer cash on a new RAV4. Visit your local Toyota dealer or check out buyatoyota.com to learn more. Toyota, let's go places.
Available to buyers with approved Tier 1 Plus and Tier 1 credit only through Toyota Financial Services. Cash back from Toyota Motor Sales USA, Inc. cannot be combined with other cash offers. Call 1-800-79-TOYOTA for details. Does not include taxes, license, title, registration fees, or dealer fees. Does not include college, grad, or military rebate. Offers may vary by region. See dealer for details. Offers end 10-1-18.
Don't miss one of Central Illinois' finest juried art shows at Arts in Central Park. Friday, September 14th to Sunday, September 16th in beautiful downtown Decatur. Enjoy over 70 exhibiting artists with a variety of artwork for sale, including jewelry, pottery, metal sculptures, blown glass, fiber arts, paintings, and more. Plus, kids' art activities under the big tent and a special kids' art shop in the Madden Arts Center. Be a VIP and shop early at the Friday evening preview party. All